Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along, episode 127 of the Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe here. One slight difference though, Jason is in Stavanger in Norway and Zoe is in
Wolverhampton.
Oh, so he's still at home though, so it's nowhere glamorous.
Yes, at home. But I haven't had to travel out today, which has been nice.
Yeah, not coming to you from the Molyneux, but actually from Zoe's house and sunny Stavanger. Actually, where it's not that sunny and it's quite cold, but there we go. Well, welcome to Norway. So coming up on this week's show, Zoe, who have you got for us?
I've got Mark Minton. He's a very excitable chap. I met him in a competition at the start of this year. I'll tell you more about that when he's on and what he's been up to as well since, because he's got a lot in the pipeline at the minute.
We'll also be talking to Witty from the band Captain Horizon, who let us hear some of their music. And we'll be having a chat with the man behind the brand that is chocolate. It is Louis Barnett on the phone with us very shortly. But first of all, we have Tim and Simon joining us now. We've had a little chat with the guys before, so hello to you two lads.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, well, we're all good.
we don't normally speak in unison. It was just
yes, we do actually.
It's no compulsory. It's part of all contractual obligations going forward from this point on. So, how is the world of Tim and Simon? Because since last we spoke, you've done you created a whole new concept in the Podathon.
Yes, we have. Tim came up with the idea initially to do a 24-hour podcasting marathon. That is basically doing podcasts on the hour every hour for 24 whole hours.
Yeah, and we thought we'd do it for charity, because otherwise there's not much point, is there, really?
There's no drive pushing us on there. So we did it all for the Alzheimer's Society and tried to raise £1,000.
How did you do?
Did you get there?
We did. We managed to... we got to the end. We got to... we managed to do it without sleeping, without falling asleep, without being too manic, and we raised £770.50,
to be precise. Yeah, but you can still give now. So I mean, I think the Just Giving page stays open till 2016 or something like that.
So there's no excuses now, really, to go and donate for our efforts.
And of course, people can still listen to it as well, can't they?
Absolutely, it's on iTunes. Yeah. Search for Tim and Simon.
Or you can go straight to our website, that's timandsimon.co.uk/podathon.
Indeed, and that you can download all of them there. And today we have just finished doing a Tim and Simon's Podathon, The Best Bits.
Yeah.
It's a compilation of the best bits.
That's funny, that.
But yeah, was it very long?
No, the best bits we've short. No, it's very short.
there's 3 minutes. Yeah, 3 minutes. Nothing's good in there. It's about 55 minutes long, the best bits. It's condensed down from about 4.5 hours worth of material that we produced. And so there's a lot to enjoy there. And it means that people don't get daunted by the 25 episodes that we did on the day.
And suppose it means you've taken out most of the complaining about a lack of sleep and just kept in the comedy gold.
Yes, yeah. That's precisely what we did.
That's how we lost 3.5 hours worth of material.
But you had a lot of coffee as well, didn't you, to keep you awake through the night?
Surprisingly not, no, because we were told if you had too much coffee, then you would fall.
Yeah.
You would
crash
whitey. So I think we had about 3 cups of coffee through the whole night.
No, we made a tally, and over the course of the 25 hours, it was four cups of coffee.
Yeah.
But we had about 15 bananas.
Yeah.
So instead of a totaliser, you actually had a giant coffee cup and you marked that one up, and then a tree which you removed your bananas from as you went along.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just like Blue Peter did it.
Only fewer bottle caps and no pets. So what is the next move then? Because it's sparked quite a lot of interest in your two guys' work, hasn't it, all this?
Yes. Well, we're going to carry on with Brainspill. That's our normal podcast that we do once a week now. And we're thinking of doing something for Christmas.
Yes, we are. We're thinking of doing another podcast stream for Christmas. So,
Let's hope it's a pantomime.
Well, we hadn't actually thought of that, but seeing as you have just said it, we may have to.
That'd be great. I could just see you there doing Puss in Boots or something. Who's going to be your ugly sister?
Strangely enough, we have actually played Ugly Sisters in a radio pantomime last year.
Yeah. It's something we're quite experienced in, yeah.
And even though it was radio, you still wore the dresses.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, they told us not to. They specifically said, don't wear the dresses, but we just had to.
We raided our mum's wardrobes and we went for it.
You need to put plenty of photos up if you do that this year as well.
We certainly will. But if we do a podcast for Christmas, then go to timandsimon.co.uk and we will keep everybody updated through the website.
Now, you've recently also been up in Manchester for a bit of a radio-style get-together.
Yes, we were up at the radio festival in Salford.
Yeah, which was it's basically the radio industry conference. So there's lots of radio-ish people-ish around.
Yeah, so we met quite a few interesting people. It was good fun.
Did many people collect your autographs as well whilst you're there? Had you got a certain amount of note about you?
No, we must have given out about 100 business cards, though, yeah. Including to Jamie Cullum. Yeah. We tried to convert Jamie Cullum to a Tim and Simon fan.
Yeah.
It's not that far from his usual jazz output on Radio 2, so...
Yeah, it's freeform, just like we are.
Exactly.
And you're still working on your radio work as well?
Yeah, well, we're broadcasting on Calon FM once a week on Tuesdays from 4 until 6. And that's the Wrexham community radio station, which is great fun because we just get to mess about for 2 hours and play some music and entertain people, which is what we love to do.
Did you get much chance to recycle the content from the podcast at that point, or would that not be quite allowed?
We tried it once. The first time we did the first podcast, we also did the same material on air, and about 15 people picked us up on it. So we won't be doing that again.
Yeah, we feel like we're shortchanging people if we just regurgitate the same old stuff. So it's a bit of a head spin to try and come up with new things, but I think people enjoy that.
But the plan in the future is that some large radio organisation will pay us to do a combination of the two.
Hint, hint. Anybody listening?
Radio.
Yeah, so we'll basically do Brain Spill on the radio and make a podcast out of that, which will be called Brain Spill. So everyone will be happy then.
So much plans.
Oh, so many plans.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, Zoe's available if you'd like to take her off my hands as well, she can come and join in and help out.
Ooh, what right. would it be like? I don't know. A rose between two thorns, would it be?
No, the other way around.
Oh, between a rose?
Isn't that the same thing?
we'll write it down for her later. She might understand then.
Yeah, okay.
But it's good to hear what you guys have been up to. Great to work with your podathon. You say you got your Christmas work coming up, but you think it may well be an annual event now? And have others jumped on the podathon bandwagon?
Ooh, it's a tough question. We'll wait and see. It was really tough. So if we can generate the same interest, then I'm more than willing to do it again. Just not for a while.
Yeah, well, let me catch up on my sleep. I still don't think I have caught up on my sleep, even though it was nearly 2 months ago.
Mentally scarred still.
Yeah. Yes.
Guys, lovely to have a chat with you. Great speaking to you again, and thank you for joining in and for your great work for charity. So there you go. That's another tick in the box. You're like true radio celebrities now.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having us on, Jason.
Thank you, Zoe.
Right, let's take our first track from our featured band today. They are Captain Horizon, and this is Turn Away.
Never.
turn away. They are Captain Horizon, and joining us now on the phone, we have their frontman, Witty. Hello, sir.
Hello, mate. You all right?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad.
Good stuff. Now, tell us a bit about the band, because you've been going together since, what, about 2008 now?
Towards the end of 2008, we sort of all got together. It was mainly through Josh and Alex. Basically, they were looking for a drummer and a singer. Mez answered the call, and then he called me, and the rest is history.
Well, yeah, you'd followed 12 months of absolutely manic gigging, and now you're trying to get some stuff down on EP, so I suppose you can flog a few discs, but also push yourselves to a wider audience.
Well, I mean, obviously that's what we need. It's the, you know, you need the fan base, and that's the hard task to overcome, really. But I mean, the music, it just comes pretty natural, to be fair. And as you say, we've got a few EPs, and now we're hopefully at the beginning of the summer sort of time, the album should be ready.
Mm. Are you looking for like a manager or a record deal, or is that where you want to end up eventually? Or
hopefully. I mean, we are on the search at the moment, but you know, it's just one of them situations where you keep looking, but there's hardly anything out there, really. It's one of them hard tasks in this industry.
Yeah. Have you all got day jobs as well, then, running
around? Yeah, there's no two ways about it. We can't do it without doing a day job. But then, you know, no rest for the wicked, I suppose.
Yeah, and I suppose if you enjoy it, it's not like when you're rehearsing or doing gigs or anything like that you'd class it as work, really, I suppose, is it?
No, for me, it's me wind down. I come back from work, I go out to practice, we go out to a gig, and it's just murk and explode then. You know? So it's more like a, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like a tantra.
So how do you describe your influences then? Because you've got a very good raw edge to your sound.
Well, I grew up really with listening to the likes of Black Sabbath, Guns N' Roses, Bon Jovi. That was my sort of young era, having two older sisters in the 80s. So I heard all of that when it all came. So, I mean, that was... Axl Rose was a big influence of mine early on, but I've decided I don't like the guy anymore. And a few other ones is David Coverdale. He's a big favourite of mine, Whitesnake. But with the rest of the lads, theirs are completely different to mine, so it's bands that I necessarily wouldn't listen to.
What are they all into, all the rest of them, then?
It's not Steps, I mean, is it? They're not going to that reunion tour.
Well, I think Alex might be, you know, but...
Plenty of gigs coming up for you guys over the next few weeks. Most notably, December the 10th, you've got Woody's Bar in Cannock. What else you got coming up after that?
We've got the 16th of December at the Rockers Ball at the End, which is the ballroom, the End Ballroom on Dale End, which used to be the old Bar Academy in Birmingham. The 17th, we're at the Railway Hotel in Evesham. And that's it up until the new year.
Then you get a bit of a break for Christmas. So I suppose you can find yourself gigging too much over the festive period.
It's the one thing we have sort of, you know, we didn't really do a lot of Christmas when we started. It was one of our decisions. Let's not work too hard over Christmas because, you know, work's going to be a pain in the backside and et cetera, et cetera. You know, but we do try and sort of use the time. Like, again, with the recording, we're using a lot of the Christmas and this time now where the gigs are quiet to get the recordings done. Yeah. But then it's going to be bang, straight back out there again on, you know, as many as we can do.
And when you are writing the songs, is it input from absolutely everybody? Have you all got tales of woe that you want to sing about?
I suppose we all have. But, I mean, this album, it's all Josh's work, really. I mean, obviously, we've all added our little pieces to it. But he came in one day and went, right, I've had a few weeks off work. And, you know, rather than trying to find another job, because it was all unpaid, he's just sat there at his computer and just took about 300 sound clips off his phone and went, right, OK. And in them 2 weeks, he wrote an album. He wrote about 14, 15 songs.
Yeah.
Bought them in and went, there you go. Learn them.
And now if you sell it, he makes all the money.
Well, I'll let him have a little bit of money if he's a lucky boy.
So, the next track we're going to take is actually Climbing the Waterfall. Now, all these come from your current EP. Is this all available for free download as well, just to get the message out there?
Yeah, you can download it off captainhorizon.co.uk. It's a free EP. We've had two previous releases, and we decided that this one we'll put up for free on our website. And it's pretty simple to download. It's just a zip file.
It gets people listening to your music, doesn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, people see something for free. I mean, the second we put it up, we advertised it on our Facebook page and a few of the pages that we look at. And it was a bit of a hit straight away. You know, people see free and they think, we'll go for a bit of that then.
It's worth a download. They keep listening to it. Before you know it, it's popping up on their iPod. They're checking out the band name and maybe coming along to one of those gigs that you've got on the way.
Exactly.
Give us the web address one more time.
It's www.captainhorizon.co.uk.
And have you got a Twitter feed as well?
We have. They're all sort of interlinked anyway, but yeah, you can get them all off our website.
Yeah, head to the bottom of the page, all the links are there. Even head to buy your music on Amazon and everything.
That's it, yeah. iTunes, Tesco, all of them.
You're not proud, you'll sell your stuff anywhere.
Well, you know, you've got to, every little helps.
Maybe card awesome. Points as well, you never know. Witty, thank you for joining us. Good to hear your tunes, and thanks for sharing them with us here in the Milk Bar today.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for playing as well.
No problem at all. Right, let's take that song. This is Climbing the Waterfall.
Sick and tired of the same old faces. I don't wanna make no changes.
That's Captain Horizon with Climbing the Waterfall. Great to have a little chat with Witty there. Now, Zoe, our next caller is somebody you met when he was wearing a frock at an audition. Please explain more before we talk to him.
Yes, I think he had some big boots on as well, from memory.
Freshie's fetish when he said that he wanted a lady to take the job. I thought, I'm not having that because that's sexist. So I thought, I'll get in straight away, put a frock on, and he had a fetish for boots. I look more like Wagbo, but Wagner was there, if you remember, Zoe.
Yeah, he was, yeah. Do you know what miffed me, though? We'd been waiting there for hours and hours, and he came and he just walked right to the front of the queue and went straight in.
Well, I actually
should have waited, really.
Anyway, before you two keep chatting, can I just point out we actually have Mark Minton on the phone, because Zoe, you didn't tell us who we were talking to. Mark, I'll do a formal hello to you now. You okay, mate? How are you doing?
Voice is to me. Carry on.
So there you were, queuing up for an audition for the event at Beacon when they were looking for a new co-host for their breakfast show. You two got chatting, and that was back in February now. And Mark, you've just been working non-stop by the sounds of things. You wouldn't have had time to have done it anyway, would you?
Well, I'll try anything, you know. I'll get to the opening of a letter, you know what I mean? When the fridge door opens, I start dancing when the light comes on. I'm just starstruck. I think it must be, we'll call it a middle-aged crisis, I think. So I'll try anything.
But anything that's fun, I think you've got your name down for, haven't you?
Yes, well, yeah, I've done a bit of radio. That didn't really work out. I think it was when I did the old Basic Instinct thing for Fresh. And it was more Jurassic Park than Basic Instinct, I think. A couple of weeks ago for a program called Clampers. Mm. It's actually on Facebook, if you look through it. They are trying to drum up, backing and whatever else. There's a great cast, though. There's people from all different soaps there, so I think that the actors themselves should sell the show. You've got the likes of Brian Lynch from Coronation Street, Lyndon Ogborn from Emmerdale, Jay Korn from Hollyoaks, Stephen Davis of Doctor Who fame. There's loads. The list is endless. Then you've got me. Mark Minton from a reality strip program called The Real Full Monty. I don't know if you remember it.
This is going to sound odd. I did audition for that program, but not to take my clothes off. They they invited me down to audition to host the final there. Yeah. And I have to admit, I wasn't that keen, so I was quite relieved when they said that they didn't want me. But
I wish they'd have said that to me. It nearly broke up my relationship because and it all started off. We're only going to strip to our boxer shorts. So I decided to have the time off work, like a sabbatical. And then I'd made a decision then. I was signed all the contracts. And the next thing you know, now it's the full month, you know. It was lucky I bought an MP and I just thought I'd been struck on that night.
But were you a little daunted by doing that sort of thing in public on stage? I think was it at the Civic that it all finished off?
Yeah, it all finished off at the Civic. It had been done over a month, and we were literally advised to enhance our presence, we'll say, buying these enlargers, you know. And I actually walk into this male shop, or whatever you call them, this adult shop. And to be honest, I mean, there was like vibrating drill bits and scrapers. Yeah.
Okay, don't want to know too much, to be fair.
Well, really, it was more B&Q than S&M, if you know.
I don't know. Some of the things you've been up to.
We found it because we've been on Beacon Radio promoting the show because I think, if the truth be known, Sky really wants you to fail for the Hard Luck story, you know. And so I decided to go to Beacon and ask for a bit of PR, and actually went on with Fresh and Joe. It was on that day that I brought this enlarger. But it was played like on a loop, and my wife had gone to work, and I was in bed because we was filming on the afternoon, and they played this part on my wife's heard it on the way to work, and she's actually come home, gone through my bag, and found this dangling. Which, let's put it easy, it never went down very well, but, you know, that's history now. We got married in the end.
Oh, that's good.
So there's at least a happy ending to the story.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely an antidote there, yeah.
So in your new series, you keep your clothes on, though, in Clampers. What part do you play?
Well, actually, no. I think I'm being typecast, you know, because What it is, I mean, as I say, I mean, some days there was filming for like 19 hours and whatever else, and they're putting all bits together. And I went from being a clamper where I worked with a guy named, I'm sorry to keep name dropping, but a guy named John Yap from Doctors and The Archers, I think he's been on. And I say these parts and these words and all that. And then I go back on the Friday and says, we've changed your part. And I said, well, what am I now? He said, we want you to play the slob. And I thought, oh, my God, I am being typecast. And actually, not to give too much away, but I actually have to sit with no clothes and just these, we'll say dirty pants.
And, nice.
There's two kids in the house, and we had to have, like, as you know, because of, you know, child protection and everything, you had to have, like, people with them and all. And I said, is it all right what I'm doing? And I said, the kids are all right, but we've got a bit of a problem with it. But I was glad to get out there, actually, when it was all over, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So is that just a pilot, did you say? Is it, and it's waiting for funding for, like, a full series?
That's it, yeah, because what it is, we'll get the nod, we hope, sometime in December, but as you know, editing and sales and all that. I mean, it turns silly, but even like with the recession, it's hard to get, like, you know, your backing and stuff like that. I mean, I've seen a lot of the, you know, the footage and the shoots and all that, and it is real gritty comedy, you know, it's like a dark comedy. I think it's a little bit darker than Shameless, so that's going out the window, so this is the new thing. I hope it is, anyway. He's so creative. Some of the things he thinks of, you know, I don't know where he sleeps at night or what corner he's in, but it's fantastic, you know.
Yeah, it might be the series to send you, you know, into fame.
Oh, well, I did do a book signing the other day, and the people at the library was not happy at all about it. No, I'm joking. But I'd like to, you know, I mean, all being well, you know, if it does kick off. I mean, as I say, I play like this slob, and I live with a crackhead, and
it's not the normal round boy,
man. I mean, I do live in a rough area, but it ain't that rough there. But, you know, it just looks really good, you know. I mean, they've got a good agent and everything else. That's what keeps bringing the stars in, you know, so...
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, good luck with that one. Fingers crossed, as Zoe says. Hopefully that will all work out for you, and we'll see you on the big screen. But also, Facebook Clampers is what we're looking for on that one, yep?
Yes, if you go to Facebook and type in Clampers, you'll see a little lorry, and if you can press like, please, we need all the backing we can get.
Okay. What else you got going on then?
I recently played a little part in a film called To the End of the Road. What it was, I was actually supposed to be an extra, but something had gone wrong and whatever else. And basically, they threw me into the deep end. And what happens is this big guy comes in and says something to me, and I had to react and be all nervous. Well, I actually did this part and blah, blah, blah. And I had to say, like, oh, she's not here, and I'm in charge, and blah, blah, blah. And at the end, it was all finished, and the director was, Kurt, absolutely brilliant. He said, Mark, you just scared really well. I weren't even acting, it was real. The bloke, he's actually a professional bodyguard. His name's Ian Trevor. He's a lovely chap. I mean, he's about 6'10". If he fell over, he'd be halfway home. He's that kind of a guy, you know. But he's such a nice guy. But he just
how do you fit it around your day job? How do you fit it around your other work?
Well, I fit it around my other work. Well, I was off during a holiday period, and I tried to do a little bit over weekends and whatever, you know. That's the only thing, because it was only filmed over a week, and, like, you know, they tell you you're filming, Dave, so you know where you were and all that. You weren't there all the time. That's why, if you said, well, what happened in this bit and what happened in that bit, I wouldn't know, because I weren't there all the time, you know. So,
Do you go through, like, an agent, or do you do it yourself? Or, I mean, how do you get the parts that you've got so far?
From the film that I did, To the End of the Road, the producer's Jason Ash, and he's fantastic. And he said, would you be interested in going for an audition for this Clampers? I said, well, yeah. I've done a couple of acting lessons, not me, but I'm always doing improvisation and stuff like that. I just do rubbish, if you know what I mean. But what I had to do... I had to improvise being on this phone talking, and the editor said, do you want to lend my phone? Well, at the end, because long story short, I was supposed to get all aggressive and throw the phone down, but it weren't a landline, it was like a mobile phone I had. So I got all aggressive, and I won't say what I said, because it was all swearing. And I actually threw the phone on the floor, and the phone just disintegrated. And there's a lull, and the phone just explodes, and they go, oh, fantastic, that's fantastic. That's how I got that, really. I don't know if it was more scared that I was a bit of a psychopath or what, but it's cost me a new phone anyway.
So, good luck with everything you've got going on for the future. Have you got a website so people can find out what's actually happening to you?
No, they can add me on Facebook if they like. I've got a Twitter site. It's Minto1 Twitter. And as I say, we really appreciate people joining the Clampers site and just liking it, because I do think it'll be a big success. We really do.
Yeah.
Well, good luck, we should say, with everything. Mark Minton, thank you for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you on our TV screens for many, many years to come.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Cheers. It was lovely to talk to you in the end.
And you again, yes.
Only this time you didn't have to wear a dress or anything, or no boots.
Well, I'm happy to offer it, even in pants. I wonder if you can get me on there.
You never know, Zoe's got some amazing contacts. We shall see what happens. But let's just take a bit more music from our band. This one is Stop. First illusion, then a lie which hurts me more. First impression always seems to leave me cold. Mind is breaking, can my heart be strong? A bit till we both can't fit. Captain Horizon and Stop. And now a gentleman joins us on the phone who has recently been to Mexico, and I think last time we spoke to him he was about to go off to Mexico again, but he's been out there so many times I think he's now got a Mexican passport and just returned from a trip to London. Louis Barnett from Chocolate, how are you, sir? You good?
Good afternoon. Good, thanks.
So what's been going on then? Because you seem to be pretty much taking over the world of chocolate in Mexico.
Well, I've been over there, I think I've been over there about nearly 6 months this year. I've been over there really developing the market in Mexico to use it as a platform to go up into the States and Latin America. So I've been developing the market over there. We're in now the largest retailer in Latin America in Mexico. And I'm even looking at the possibility of opening my first restaurant and chocolate shop over there next year.
That is absolutely amazing. Is this from the contacts you built from your first trip over?
Absolutely. So I got in contact with a distributor originally, who then we went to one of the big retailers for a formal presentation. The brand has taken off so much over there. We've had so much support, and I've got to know most of the sort of celebrity chefs over there and all that sort of stuff. So the networks have grown very, very quickly. And the product knowledge has grown very, very quickly. We get people tweeting and Facebooking us daily with pictures of handfuls of chocolate bars. So it's great, great news.
So how's your Mexican now then? Have you been learning the language?
I have, yeah. It's not too bad. I can get around, have basic conversations, do taxis, order food, that sort of stuff. But it's not fantastic. But I'm learning all the time, and I've just invested in one of those big Rosetta Stone packs. So hopefully very soon I should be well on my way to speaking fluent Spanish, especially with me spending so much time over there as well.
Mm. Have you developed any specialised chocolate purely for them, or is it just the brands that we've got here?
We have actually. We've got a couple of flavours over there, one of them being lime, and as they know it, as lemon. And actually in Mexico, pretty much every restaurant, every dish that you'll serve, you'll be given a little bowl of limes. There's a couple of other flavours that we're in development at the moment with, but I don't want to be too forward in developing something that's been one of their signature tastes. I don't want to be the English guy who comes over and puts one of their traditional cultural flavours in my bar. I just want to be careful about how I do it. But no, we're definitely thinking about some new flavours to come into the range and maybe even selling in the UK as well.
And how are you working it as far as manufacture goes? Is it all still being done from the Bridge North base?
No, actually, we've got two manufacturing sites now, one in Northampton, one in Kendall, and we're actually looking for a third one at the moment in the UK. We're also in the process of setting up a manufacturing base in Mexico and also looking at a location in Asia as well.
It's just absolutely snowballing. I'm really well done, and you've only just recently turned 20 as well, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been 20 for only a matter of weeks now.
Have you got much more that you want to do? I mean, what's your plans now that you seem to have, got that in the bag?
Absolutely. I think for me, I will continue to work within the industry. I want to develop new relationships with countries. We want to be looking at the BRIC economies over the next 12 months and really looking to develop that. But also, I'm just about to become an official government consultant for the British government via the British Council, and I'm going together with a formal proposal to the British government in export. So to get sort of more involved in politics, because I think, the relationship between business and politics has always been a very close one. And sometimes you just have to stand up and fight for your corner and fight for what's right. I never pictured myself getting involved in anything like that, but it seems to be the way. And of course, like I mentioned quickly, one of my dreams has always been to open a restaurant, and that could be a reality very soon as well. So plenty to go in the pipeline to think about for the next couple of years.
Yeah, because you actually just returned from a trip to London, haven't you? That sort of ties in with the work that you're looking at doing with politicians.
Absolutely. I mean, the one today was I was at the Diana Awards Anti-Bullying Week launch, and there were some very interesting people there. Nicole was there from Girls Aloud, and Will Poulter from the little bratty kid from the Narnia, the last Narnia film, if you remember that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fantastic guy. But we had a conference on, because I was bullied while I was at school by not only pupils but also teachers. So that was the first thing. And then last week I was actually with the Prime Minister talking about global export at the UK Trade and Investment Export launch. And all the ministers were there, all the trade and business ministers. We had all the CEOs of the banks. And really talking about, over the next 3 years, how as a country we're going to develop both our foreign markets, but also encouraging British businesses to look at export and making it a lot easier for them.
And how has it been, you know, meeting up with the Prime Minister under these circumstances? Because you've met David Cameron a few times before, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was very interesting. It took him a couple of minutes to recognise me, because I haven't seen him for a while, and apparently I've grown up, were his words. But, you know, it's very nice, and I think it's very different to be looking down that road of the politics and thinking about my involvement. So I know it's very interesting, and I said I certainly wouldn't have pictured myself getting involved in that a couple of years ago.
It's nice for him to remember you as well, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he must meet thousands of people, so it is very nice.
Mm.
But not many who are chocolatiers at your age or with the level of exports and really standing up for Britain the way you have done around the world.
Well, thank you, Jason.
But come on, we see you in the press, we see what you're doing on Twitter, and it is absolutely amazing. I'm well impressed with your work, mate.
Thank you, Jason.
So what is the next move then? Is it back to Mexico within a few weeks?
No, actually, I've got a good busy couple of weeks in terms of UK stuff. So I'm going to be here probably until early January, doing a lot of events for charities for Global Enterprise Week. I'm talking at the National Business Show next week. So if anyone listening, you know, is going to come to the business show, they can come and watch my speech. And I've got a good couple of weeks then after that to sort out, have a bit of a family Christmas and a chill out. And I'm going to be in Europe probably most of the new year up until probably about the middle of February, and then back off to Mexico for a good couple of months. But I suspect that I'll only be in the UK 3 or 4 months next year, or maybe a little bit less.
I can see tax exile coming on, to be fair.
Very soon, I'll be a technical non-domicile resident, so we'll see what we can do there.
Louis, always great to talk to you. Continued success to you. I think you're just going from strength to strength, and it is amazing what you're doing, and I say really, really pleased for you. It's really good news.
Fantastic. No, thanks for having me on again, Jason.
No problem at all. And where can people not only get your chocolate bars, but also follow you on Twitter to see what else is going on in the world of Louis Barnett?
Absolutely. Well, if you go, we've just actually launched a new website at www.chocolite, that's chocolite.co.uk and .com. If you're a Spanish-speaking citizen out there or a Latino in the UK, you can go to www.chocolate.com.mx, and you'll be able to buy the bars off the website. The bars are also in mid-county co-ops around the Midlands, and hopefully we're talking to a few big retailers again in the UK, so we might have something interesting to report over the next couple of months. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, that would be at Louis Barnett, no capitals, no spaces, just LouisBarnett.
Louis, once again, thank you for joining us. Great to talk to you. And I look forward to finding out the next step of the story of pretty much world domination.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jason. And yeah, I'm sure next time I talk to you, I'll have a lot more news to tell you.
Brilliant. Look forward to speaking to you probably the early part of the new year. So, half an hour.
Fantastic. Thanks, Jason. Bye.
I think it's time for a bit more music now, Jason. It's Captain Horizon and their final song, Anxiety Breaks Us All.
Never realized the fire's in your eyes.
Final tune from Captain Horizon, Anxiety Breaks Us All. Well, Zoe, it's been lovely having a weird sort of trans bit of water between the UK and Norway type chat with you today. It's been fun.
It's been very strange.
The magic of the internet and how terrible the quality sounds when you use gear that you buy from certain high street electronics retailers. But there we go. But been good to have a chat. And what have you got coming up this week? Anything exciting?
No, not really. I've got to get my books in for the business, which I shall be doing all week. Very boring, but still.
That's the exciting life you lead. Well, I hope to be back in the UK for next week's show.
A very exciting guest, haven't we, for next week?
We have, but we don't talk about it beforehand, just in case it goes horribly wrong.
Going to say.
Yeah, so that's intriguing. We shall find out more about that next week. Make sure you tune in for that one. Thanks for joining us this week, though. As we say, ta-ra from the Milk Bar. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.